Hello out there in Radio Land. It's time once more for another exciting installment of Prel Profiles, your opportunity to hear super celebrities in depth and up close. I am your host, the Papa Prel, and tonight our guest is the author of those controversial role-playing games that have made national headlines on more than one occasion. Gary Gygax, folks, of D&D, here on Prel Profiles. Gary Gygax of D&D on Prel Profiles. You know, I just started this. We got GG of D&D on PP. Yeah. Thanks for being with us.
Why do you want to know?
Well, as a matter of fact, your game has been accused of being very satanic and occult-oriented. And I was curious to find out when this obsession and love affair with the occult began.
It began very, very early. About as early as I can remember, I heard stories of magic rings and things like that. My father talked to me and told me
so he was
all sorts of good things. And then I liked to read and be read to. And so it began from childhood and culminated around 1969 or so when I tossed make-believe into a... well, relatively serious recreation of medieval warfare using miniature figurines.
And so that the medieval warfare and everything got you involved in the infatuation with death and violence, and that led to the games. Huh?
Everybody liked that so much, we eventually did the D&D game a few years later.
I see. So this in turn led to demons and voices in your brain. And what exactly does D&D stand for anyway? That's Demons and Dungeons, is it?
Called Dungeons and Dragons, medieval role
Dungeons
fantasy role playing game.
Well, let me just get this straight. So your game teaches them how to be murderers, rapists, and miscellaneous evildoers. Is that right?
Well, what they do is they decide what they're going to be. I want to be a magic user, or a fighter, or a thief, or a cleric.
Or a thief? So you teach them how to be thieves, too? I mean, is that really necessary? That's what we got buzzing for. Not to mention TV. I mean, why would you do that?
You don't have much, and you don't know much, and then as you succeed...
No, I mean, why would you...
From adventure to adventure, problem solving, and quest fulfillment.
Material
you
goods.
You gain more experience.
Oh,
and
great.
Experience gives you better chances of
eluding
doing
police.
Whatever it is your profession is.
Stealing.
You know more spells, you're better equipped to be a fighter, or
a thief, thanks to you, yeah. Well, I'm prepared to let that one slide for right now, because quite frankly, compared to the allegations of murder and rape that your game supposedly inspires, I guess thievery's kind of the least of your worries, but I might just follow up this much and ask, I take it you get some sort of percentage of the cut from this, eh?
It's about a 50-50 deal.
Oh, really? 50-50, so like they fence all the goods, and then you get about half of the booty. I guess they at least learn math that way. How do they keep track of all that anyway? I would imagine that get very complicated after a while. Go ahead, I won't tell the police.
The rules are extensive. You can sit down, and if you have patience and
good stealing skills.
Good vocabulary.
Oh, they learn vocabulary, too.
To play the game.
Wonderful.
Most people learn by...
stealing.
By playing.
Okay. Well, getting on to the demonic thing again, because we don't want to get all caught up in the... I mean, like I said, what's thievery compared to killing? So, let's cover those a little bit more, if we might, because I take it there's a lot more genres that emphasize death and killing than just regular thievery, eh?
Many other genres. We did, in fact, when I was with the publisher of Dungeons & Dragons...
The Printer's Devil, huh?
We had any number of other role-playing game forms out of
D&D,
science fiction...
S&M,
espionage,
L.A. Strangler.
You can play in virtually any genre.
Yeah, I bet. What about good behavior? Do you have any games that promote good behavior?
No, the most popular is certainly fantasy.
Oh, the S&M
horror types. And science fiction, both.
Horror and science fiction.
And espionage.
You teach them sabotage?
Post-Holocaust isn't so much science. There's a science fantasy, Gamma Rotters.
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. You promote the Holocaust? Do you really do that?
Yes.
Yes.
It's put out by Game Designers Workshop, as I recall. It's called Twilight 2000.
Twilight 2000 sounds like Death Wish 2000. Don't you feel the slightest bit remorse and guilt about promoting something like that?
I've never played it.
That's reassuring.
It's just, why not? I mean,
why not?
If you can make up wizards and...
killers, stranglers.
So forth, why not...
kill a few million people.
Post-Holocaust.
Sure, why not? After all, it's not your neck on the line, unfortunately. And besides, like you say, it's a lot of fun. You know, I'm very curious to find out what some of the other games are that you have in store for the American public.
I have done a game called Cyborg Commando, which is set about 50 years in the future. Where Earth is being invaded by... some aliens with...
Oh, wait a minute. Don't tell me. They have hair all over them and praying mantis arms. You know, I know all about that, and that's exactly the kind of point I want to get to. You know, a few of these ideas are just a little bit too realistic, and wouldn't it disturbing if you don't mind me using that word. And, well, quite frankly, I'd like to know what your inspiration is for these things. Are they voices in your head? Where do you come up with these ideas?
Well, it's a lot like writing a story. If you like to read about something,
murder, rape, dismemberment,
why not play a game on it?
Oh, sure.
It's pretty much the same. The way I write too is that, geez, I had a lot of fun playing a game in that particular genre. Why don't I write a story about it?
Mm-hmm.
So it cuts both ways.
No pun intended.
And that's what I did. I enjoyed a role playing game is very much a plot outline where the acting
plot
is then
outline.
Filled in and the eventual end of the story is determined by the players interacting with this plot outline that is there.
Uh-huh, which they then fill in with a human being after they take these little games that you have very seriously and end up killing people, which is exactly what some teenagers did, and they murdered people because they had heard about it in their games. Now, what do you have to say about that? I suppose you blame it all on the players.
Oh, of course it is, although
really?
You set it up for that, too. But
you're admitting that.
This is a group cooperative game. Most role-playing games are group cooperative.
Kind of like a gangland rape or whatever.
Uh-huh. Fight against its own numbers. It works together to overcome outside opposition.
Like the police. Uh-huh.
So there is violence, certainly, in a role-playing game.
Sure.
There's violence in virtually everything we see and do. And
everything
I don't think that's bad, because I believe that it helps to sublimate those
your income.
And you act it out, and it's gone.
Yeah, and so are the victims that they acted out on, which is the main problem that we're having here. Now, I think the argument that you're maintaining is much like the gun control argument, that guns don't kill people, people kill people. And so you're saying that Dungeons and Dragons don't kill people, people kill people, and they just happen to be under the influence of your game when they murder these people, much like a drug or something. Is that what you're saying?
I believe so very much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you're stammering now. A little nervous,
huh? The game itself had taken some flack.
Sure.
Basically from fundamentalists who had religious objections.
Yeah, it's all the clerics'
fault. After all, it has magic in it, and dragons and demons and
heavy on the
like
demons,
that.
Yeah.
So, the authorities have sometimes, in small towns particularly, encouraged people to say, you know, the devil made me do it.
Uh-huh. Well, who made you do it? That's what I want to know.
Game.
Oh, so you can blame it on the game, but they can't blame it on the game. Well, that sounds very consistent. It sounds like you're not willing to accept responsibility for any of the problems your games create, but what about your children? What would you tell them if they were interested in it?
This is a dangerous game, and I remember OBS because
OBS.
It's really easy, because they say it's a cult.
Uh-huh.
Now, nobody ever defines what a cult is. What is a cult? And if you begin to define it, usually it's, well, those bad things that,
that you espouse.
I don't like.
Uh-huh.
Cult. What is a cult? Just what is the occult? Do you know?
Well, I can't come up with any dictionary definitions right now, but I can visualize a pretty clear image of what the occult is, let me tell you, from where my standpoint is right now. Then again, I haven't exactly studied it either the way you have. That's assuming you admit you have studied the occult.
Well, sure, I have the anything that you could find in most libraries.
Oh.
That's it.
You go to a library.
You know, I have no great knowledge of the occult. I do have the... I think Avon published the Encyclopedia of Paranormal
Avon,
and the Occult.
Ding Dong, Satan Calling. Yeah.
I read a lot. I've read a lot of authored mythology, things like that. And as far as I know, I picked up, you know, I have a good memory, and so I can remember a few real things.
That you participated in.
There's probably more occult material in a typical horror novel that's, you know, selling millions of copies today than there is in, and certainly more blood and violence than there is in Dungeons and Dragons.
I see. So that's where you're going to be going next, into the horror and death and maiming books. Well, let's stick to the Dungeons and Dragons, though, if we might, just because we're about running out of time here. I want to ask you a rather personal question, if we can get this personal. Where do you see your soul as going? Is it going to go to the devil then, basically?
Probably so. I really don't know any Satanists. That's another thing I keep hearing.
Besides
recently, I think it's become very popular, and I'm sure that if the the particular television medium keeps on hyping on it, that a lot of the teenagers will have to pick it up.
Satanism?
The adults are saying, oh, this is terrible, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's like waving a red flag to children who are trying to establish their own identities and be different.
So you suggest we should tell them, do worship the devil so that they don't worship the devil, eh? That makes a lot of sense, and I bet you'd really like that. Hey, have you ever even been to church, really?
Actually, I knew some at one time, some Catholic priests.
Oh, you meant some Catholics.
That were quite religious, that played.
That doesn't count, though.
Sometimes as clerics, in fact, that was their character.
Mm-hmm.
It differs from group to group, of course, because whatever the group decides, they all want to be somewhat, evil, and then they can play it.
That's fine with you.
In reality, there is no real evil going on.
Oh, it's all make-believe, and it's only when the people, the body starts falling that you have to worry about it at all. Well, you've got a very interesting perspective on this game, I gotta admit. In fact, if you want the out there, I'd suggest you a little bit the loon, but seeing how the money goes to you, I can understand that sort of attitude.
Sure.
Although I guess all you're really concerned about is whether the stock starts falling, because as long as those games are selling, well, then I guess a few dead in the street aren't going to matter very much, I suppose. But just remember, there's going to be hell to be paid, pal, and you're going to be doing the paying, if you know what I mean, if you don't really think this stuff is bad for you.
I'm not so sure that it isn't bad. It's a good way to take a look at, what would it be like to be a desperado?
Well,
a hunted, a killer and a hunted person.
Well, I'm sure they find out when they play your game and when they get hooked on it and go out and practice it on a few innocent victims. But I'm very glad to say that this about winds it up for this exciting and informative segment of Prel Profiles. My guest, of course, has been Gary Gygax, creator of Dungeons & Dragons, the role-playing game that teaches your kids how to kill. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Gygax, and here's your own special Prel Profile paperweight. That's my profile etched on it, by the way. Be sure to point that out to your fiends, friends.
Thank you.
Sure. I'm Papa Prel. Thank you all for listening, and God bless. And I do mean God bless. And God bless to you, too, because you need it the most, let me tell you.
The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Board of Trustees, the staff and management, or those interviewed by KZSU Stanford. Opposing viewpoints may be given equal time.
This is just the theme music is playing. You know what? I don't often make this often, but speaking of music, you might want to go on back into the record library for a while and listen to some of our rock records. I understand we have a record player that plays them backwards so that you can hear the satanic lyrics, if you'd like that. You know, it's whatever turns you on. It seems like the very least I can do, since I came all the way down here. Oh, by the way, you might want to watch these mic things here. What? They're not off? Well, turn it off, goddammit! No, later. Of course now. Turn it off now!